You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
June the 10th, 2020. Right now, a congressional hearing underway in the House on racial profiling and police brutality, obviously sparked more recently by the situation with George Floyd and his death, and understandably. And one of those testifying, the brother of George Floyd, urging lawmakers to stop the pain. He said, I couldn't take care of George the day he was killed, but maybe by speaking with you today, I can make sure that his death would not be in vain. To make sure he's not more than just a face on a T-shirt, more than another name on a list that won't stop growing. The House Judiciary Committee moving forward, of course, this is in the midst of a growing push to abolish, reform, defund police departments. And all of those are going to be part of this hearing as we move forward. What does defunding mean? Well, let me give you an example of what you could see happen. Who's in charge in Seattle? Hundreds of protesters, helped by a Seattle City Council member, stormed the Seattle City Hall last night, demanding the mayor's resignation. That's just days after they seized a six-block downtown zone where there's a shuttered police precinct. Demonstrators were peaceful, no reports of violence or injuries, but pushing for the mayor to step down. But they are now declaring this area around this police precinct a cop-free zone. Well, now, if that's what they want, I tell the Seattle police, just stay out of there. Wait and see what happens over the next several weeks. And when they call for police, it's a cop-free zone. We can't go in. They will learn firsthand what defunding, abolishing a police department will mean. The Dems, of course, the other day doing what they had accused Donald Trump of doing when he walked across to the church and held up a Bible. It's just a photo op. It's a nasty photo op carried out by the president. But, of course, the Dems did theirs the other day in the Capitol, taking a knee, wearing kente cloth, misappropriating the culture of West African nation Ghana as they wore this cloth, pandering to black votes. But when did the Democrats ever take a knee for death of a police officer? Aborted babies. Even black babies. When have they... I'm wasting my breath, aren't I? And you're not going to waste any brain cells giving me an answer. We're still going to get into that story over the next 2 hours. Oh, and also, a lot of confusion about COVID. I mean, what do we do now? What's going to happen next? Dr. Fauci says, I'm afraid all these protests are going to see more cases of coronavirus. And, of course, it's just perfect timing because, for the most part, the protest, the rioting is over. And just in advance of President Trump saying, I think we're going to kick off our MAGA rallies again, because everybody's saying you can't do that, you'd expose too many people. And, of course, now the decision by Dr. Fauci that we might see more cases coming out of these riots. We need to wait and see. So they'll be using that now against Trump. Oh, you still can't hold these meetings. By the way, there is one blood type that they say, if you have this blood type, you are less likely to get COVID-19. I'll have that story for you over the next 2 hours. And Bubba Wallace. Bubba Wallace is part of the NASCAR race circuit. He is the only African-American currently competing in NASCAR Cup Series. And, of course, he's been a central figure after the death of George Floyd. Bubba Wallace, born in Alabama, did wear a shirt the other day, I Can't Breathe Black Lives Matter T-shirt. The Richard Petty Motorsports did not have a sponsor for his car. And then someone, he says, suggested Maybe we do a hashtag Black Lives Matter. The 26-year-old said, you know what? It's the most powerful hashtag going around, so let's do it. But then he added, it's not that we're saying no other lives matter. What we're trying to say is that black lives matter too. So he said, if we put two, T-O-O, on the end, I think more people would understand it. I don't see that they've done that. I don't see them doing that. I just see they put up Black Lives Matter, period. I'm against NASCAR doing it on that basis. If you want to add the word two, great. What's going to happen if someone says cops' lives matter? Aborted babies' lives matter? Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Defunding the department is a slogan on a sign that has many definitions. You ask some, they say get rid of the police department. Some will say shift the money around. It's wrong. We don't have enough police officers. How does it affect the community? How it affects the community is we're not going to have police officers standing on your corner. Not just because of the defunding, but because we've been pulled back from doing our job. Where you say to a criminal, we're going to have a soft touch. Where a DA says we're not prosecuting no matter what's brought in here. Well, let's talk about what we just had with the riots. Why then? If the DAs are saying that we won't prosecute what you bring in, why did the bosses send us out there to make the collars in the first place? Who's left holding the bag at the end? Right here. If you didn't want us to do the job, then tell us. We understand. We won't like it. Our foot will be tapping because we want to go out and save the city. But we'll take our orders. We'll step back. But instead, we won't prosecute, but we're sending you out. What's the point? But they can wake up and prosecute a police officer that was in a terrible situation. That's just wrong.
That is New York Police Union boss Mike O'Meara. He's president of the New York State Association of the Police Benevolent Associations, lashing out at the elected officials for invoking fear and hatred towards police officers, especially in the black community. He said the politicians and the establishment media have to stop treating police like animals and thugs. He went ahead and noted, by the way, police had about 375 million interactions almost every year with the public in New York City. 375 million interactions. And obviously, overwhelmingly positive responses. But he said, but what we read in the papers all week is that in the black community, mothers are worried about their children getting home from school without being killed by a cop. He said, what world are we living in? That doesn't happen. It does not happen. Our legislators are failing us. Our press is vilifying us. Stop treating us like animals and thugs. Start treating us with some respect. That's what we're here to say today. We've been vilified. It's disgusting. Trying to make us embarrassed of our profession. Let me break that down for you a little bit. This point that we continue to hear echoed within the communities and certainly by the mainstream media, like mothers being worried about their children getting home from school without being killed by a cop. If you're serious about it, if you're honest about it, if you look at the statistics, and in fact, if you live in some of these threatening neighborhoods, be it New York City, St. Louis, L.A., Austin, Texas, Atlanta, Georgia, wherever you pick, more fear exists with the parents, if they're honest, that their child is liable to be shot while walking back from the school bus or to the school bus or to the school, not by cops, but by gangs, roving gangs, drug-dealing gangs, targeting someone by mistake or getting into a gang war shootout and an innocent child is brought down. That's what they should be more worried about. And they are. They are. They will tell you, and I've done stories like this where black neighborhoods are under assault by these drug gangs, where mothers have told me, we don't sleep in the bed. We put the kids under the bed. We're afraid to sleep in the bed. And we hear gunshots routinely every night, just like somebody's setting off fireworks. And we quickly grab the kids, and maybe we put them in the bathtub. I've heard that story. I've lost count of how many times I've heard similar stories. I feel for them. I've been blessed enough. I know someone's going to say, white privilege. I don't care how you define it. We all are blessed in different ways. And I've been blessed enough that my children, I was able to raise them in an environment where we didn't have gangs running up and down the street. But there are hard-working men and women in those poor communities doing the best they can to provide for their kids and trying to protect them. And when they have a problem, when they have something go wrong, they don't call the gang members to come sort it out. They call police. And police come in and do their job. And yet, we heard things like Senator Kamala Harris the other day, who used to be a prosecutor, saying, well, sometimes calling the police is going to lead to more problems. And you got the Lisa Bender, the city council president in Minneapolis, saying, you need to be afraid of calling the police sometimes. And so they're all saying, defund the police. The police are bad. I saw a clip of a video the other day at one of the protests. It was a peaceful protest. And I want to emphasize to you over and over again, there is a difference between peaceful protest and rioting. The left and the mainstream media like to lump it together. They'll say Trump is sending in the guard against protest. No. They'll say Trump is trying to deny protesters a right of First Amendment. No. If they're sending in troops, National Guard, or police, it's to stop violence and protest and arson. And we know for the most part the communities that suffer the most during those cases are already the poorest communities. Mom and pop stores trying to string up a local barbershop, a hair salon. They're doing what they can. They're doing what they can and what they're allowed to do in this nation. And yet it's burned to the ground by thugs or looted by thugs. And they live in fear, really more from the thugs than they do police. But that's not a popular statement right now, is it? And the New York City Police Department in particular, you talk about being confused. I want to play a couple clips from New York Governor Cuomo. I want to show you how he flip-flopped like a fish on the wharf. Here's what he said a week ago yesterday, last Tuesday.
The police in New York City were not effective at doing their job last night. Look at the videos. It was a disgrace.
The police in New York City were a disgrace. He said that a week ago yesterday, last Tuesday. A week ago tomorrow, last Thursday. 2 days after those other statements you just heard, this is what he said.
They've treated police officers with such disrespect in New York City that I am stunned.
But you contributed to it. You, Governor Cuomo, and Bill de Blasio, you contributed. And you're stunned? So let's put them together. Let's hear him from last Tuesday, a week ago, yesterday, and last Thursday, a week ago from tomorrow. And as you hear this, you're thinking, if you're a police officer, you're like, what? What?
The police in New York City were not effective at doing their job last night. Look at the videos. It was a disgrace. They've treated police officers with such disrespect in New York City that I am stunned.
I am stunned. And he was also complaining about looters being freed. Said those responsible for looting immediately released by police onto the streets. Police did not release them, Governor. And you know better. The police didn't release them. They had to be released in part and many times because of the New York State controversial bail reforms. These bail reforms where you can be sent back out on the street without having to post any bail. It went into effect January 1. It's been blamed repeatedly for looters in the most recent cases being bounced back onto the street. It limits the number of crimes for which judges can set bail, largely to those who were believed to committed violent felonies. They can set bail on them, but everyone else, 90% of the state's arrests can walk out of jail after being processed, even though they used rocks, broke in, set something on fire, stealing, and assaulted someone, but it didn't lead to death, sexually abusing children. No bail, just please come back, will you? Please, please. New York State created that, and I hope it sounds a warning for the rest of the nation. And you've got many saying, yeah, let's drop bail, it's not right, yeah? Well, let's turn them, I tell you what, here's what we should do in the future. Let's release these folks on the signature of another citizen who's willing to take them into their home and monitor them for a time. How many of the leftists would step forward and say, yeah, that child molester, I don't want him to have to post bail. Let him come to my house. I'll move a couple of my kids out of their bedrooms and let him have a bedroom. You think that would? Of course, it's not going to happen. And then, of course, what happens when you begin to defund police and you pull back? It's just like I was saying a moment ago, reference what's happening in Seattle. Things go ballistic, and it happened in New York City. I'm going to let Mark O'Meara, the New York Police Union boss, explain as how he saw an explosion of crime take place.
We here in the city are doing this in the backdrop of a night where we had 7 shootings in 4 minutes, 8 shootings in 5 hours, in different parts of Brooklyn, not connected. Last week, 40 shootings, the highest since 2015. How is this happening? How is this happening when we have so many professional, caring law enforcement officers out there on the street? And the answer is simple. There's been a message not only from our city hall, but from the state house that says there will be a soft touch. And the criminals know it. And while folks were protesting, they were breaking down doors, climbing in windows, pulling out their weapons they're not afraid to carry.
And you heard him say the soft touch, the word coming down from on high, from the politicians to the police chief, and then to the brass, and then to the officers in the street, a soft touch on criminals. easy for someone behind a desk, walled in, to say something like that when you're in the street. And you heard the stats, the information that O'Meara gave you. The New York Post reporting 13 murders from Monday, June 1, 2020, to Sunday night, June 7, 2020. 13 murders. Shooting surge, murders up more than 100% in New York City last week as protesters flooded the streets along with the rioters who shattered windows, destroyed property, set fires. 40 shootings in New York City from June 1 to June 7, 2020. I told you the other day about the numbers out of Chicago. On May 30th, 5 days after the Floyd death. Look at Los Angeles, where again they're talking about let's defund police. Let's take money away from the police department. Homicides in L.A. rose by 250%. The number of shootings of victims up 56% for the week ending June 6th. The same week, coincidentally, as the Black Lives Matter protest and riots. You want defunding police? You want to abolish police? Do you want to live like that? Better question. Do you think you'll be able to live like that? Oh, and by the way, if you want to start looking at all these crying out for defund the police, follow the money. Follow the money. I'll explain when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Again, the George Floyd death the other day has sparked a concern, a new concern, and raised concern about police tactics across the nation. It was bad policing that we saw taking place. Criminal, in my opinion. We'll wait and see what a jury rules. And I want to go back to New York City for the police union boss Mike O'Meara, because he wants everyone to understand what they, the police officers in New York City, and he believes elsewhere across the nation, think of what happened with that George Floyd case.
8 minutes is wrong. There was no struggle. There was no reason. So I know I speak on behalf of every police officer here. It was wrong. We denounce it, and we have from the beginning.
But it doesn't make any difference, because if you have a badge, you're just like Chauvin who held down George Floyd. You're just like any other cop that went over the edge for whatever reason. And you all get labeled that way. And this House hearing underway today, looking at racial profiling, they should also take into account how many times folks basically profile police. They're police. There could be bad. I started to say a moment ago, and I got sidetracked, that I saw a piece of video at one of the peaceful protests where there's a little girl, maybe four or five years old, maybe not quite that old, and an officer with his shield up is kneeling down to her because she looks kind of frightened. He said, "You're going to be okay." And she said, "Are you going to shoot me?" He said, "No, honey, I'm not going to shoot you. I've got kids, too. I'm here to help you." And then the little girl said, I didn't know police officers had kids. They live in the community just like anyone else. They have families. They care about them. Defunding police? Take a look at following the money. Politicians now trying to defund police, strip money from them, maybe even abolish police, and trying to maybe rule over police in a way that is not going to help them do their job in the street, but will satisfy votes they need. Numbers published by Open Secrets, run by the Watchdog Center for Responsive Politics, shows numerous members of the House of Representatives and U.S. Senate have collected a lot of campaign donations from police groups since 1994, some of them collecting more from police groups than any other group. Two top recipients of contributions from police groups in the Senate, Senators Patrick Leahy and Amy Klobuchar, Democrat, Minnesota. Top two in the House, Congressman Pascrell, New Jersey, Democrat, and House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, Democrat of Maryland. Oh, they've been wanting, give me money. Go to the police union. We're going to be friends with you. We'll help you out. Give me the money. We'll see how fast that dries up. And again, if you have a nation without police, what is going to happen? I'm going to break that down in a little bit more detail in the next segment. And also I'm going to tell you about some confusion over COVID lately and a new blood, not a new, but a blood type identified that might make you less likely to get COVID. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure you have some alarms to let you know if someone breaks into your home. But what happens if your home is invaded by creatures? Six legs, eight legs, maybe more. Rodler Pest Solutions can help keep those pests out of your house. And if they're already inside, get them out. In fact, you can get a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate to protect your home. You can get that at any time. Go online to Rodler.com. Rodler.com, schedule your free inspection today. Rodler is the largest family-owned pest control business in Missouri. 10 locations, more than 200 team members. Plus, Rodler has a money-back guarantee. If you're not happy for any reason, they will make it right or your money back. You know, I first called Rodler more than 40 years ago, so I know they will take good care of you. I continue to trust Rodler. Rodler Pest Solutions, Rodler.com, Rodler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Tom Holman is, of course, the former acting director of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. He's now on Fox News Channel as a contributor. He just published an opinion piece that was done about, I think, about 4 hours ago. I want to share it with you. He points out a nation without police, what you would have. And he points out immediately, we are a nation of laws, and those laws are useless if there's not someone willing to enforce them. Enforcement stands between a moral society and anarchy. I think all of you understand that. Even those who want to, quote, defund police or abolish police, I think you, if you're being honest, you would have to recognize what's to keep folks from coming to your house and just taking everything they want, police. What's to keep them from hijacking you at your car as you're going in, police. Of course, those crimes still happen, even though police are trying to do the job, and then you got to call them in. And of course, then if they get a little over the top on arresting a suspect, they might be facing charges. It is not an easy job. I'm going to give you some details of what happened something in Tennessee in a moment. But again, back to Tom Holman's comments, his editorial. He said, he points out this. To give you an idea what our country would look like without law enforcement, he took the stats from the FBI 2019 Uniform Crime Report, divided by 365 days. And on average, every day in this nation, 47 Americans are at least those inside the country, some might be illegal. 47 were killed, 372 raped, 875 robbed, 2,200 aggravated assaults, 1,100 child kidnappings, 3,500 home invasions, 3,800 DUIs, almost 7,000 burglaries just one day on an average. And he points out, you know, how many people, if you didn't have law enforcement, wouldn't be concerned about having that last drink because they get in the car and they fear they might be pulled over for a DUI. He said, if you had no enforcement of that, more would be on the streets driving drunk, and already more than 10,000 die each year in a DUI accident. He said, my question to those calling to abolish or defund police is simple. What would these numbers look like after defunding or abolishment? He answers it himself. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize the numbers would vastly increase. And he adds, professional law enforcement systems and response capabilities prevent crime and save lives. But he also adds this, and this is critical. Bad police need to be held accountable, no question. But punishing all law enforcement officers for the acts of a few, it's an overreaction. The same about what they're dealing with in Congress right now, racial profiling, because many in the gang and drug business, at least on the street level, are black. Does that mean every black child, woman, man are involved in drugs? Of course not. Many of them are the most upstanding citizens you'll find, maybe often more than many of the whites you might find around. It's not a matter of color. It's a matter of what you're doing with your life. But they want to profile police and say all cops are bad. So let me ask you this. How would you like to be one of the officers that went to a call in Tennessee? They had a report in Kingsport, Tennessee, about a guy that's intoxicating the apartment complex. They get there and they find the guy sweating, acting erratically, speaking incoherent thoughts. They didn't know, is he drunk? Is he on drugs? And I'm telling you, sometimes these guys get into something like fentanyl, either direct or mixed with their cocaine, of course, and they are stronger than four or five bulls to put together, and it's going to be hard to bring them down. A taser will not even bother them. Sometimes bullets won't stop them. Well, the guy claims to be he owns the property. Property owners say he doesn't own this. He'd gotten aggressive with other folks, so police said, we're going to need to talk to you. They patted him down. They found out he carried two knives, a fixed blade and a pocket knife. And as they continued questioning him, he got aggressive, began resisting arrest. So now you got two officers trying to deal with this one suspect, and he starts fighting them. He ends up biting part of a finger off of one of the officers. Then he pulls the stun gun away from the other officer, uses it on the police, and then he bit one of those officers in his arms. They finally got him under control as he continued to bite and kick. The patrol car damaged during the altercation, but they got him. They finally got him, and they took him in. Now, if you were in that situation, you've got a Glock on your hip. You want to pull it out and just end it right there because this guy, he's already taking your taser. His next thing, maybe take your gun from you. And if you'd done that, who would be hollering and shouting police, violence, brutality, killed him when they didn't have to. They could have restrained him otherwise. This is a case, contrary to what we saw with the George Floyd video, this is a case that's fighting, biting, still attacking police. His color? Oh, his race should not matter, but I'll give that to you. He's a white guy. The officer's race, I don't know that. I don't see it. But again, it shouldn't matter. But I can hear already, well, see, it was a white guy. If it had been a black guy, they would have shot him immediately. You don't know that, but I will put you in that situation. Regardless of his race and you're being attacked like that, what would you do? Oh, you can sit somewhere and judge others and how they do their job or not do it, but you get in the midst of that when a guy is already bitten off a part of a finger, grabbed the taser, fired it at you, bitten you on the arm. If there was a justification at that point, fearing for their life that he might get control, that they could have been justified based on what the report shows and other witnesses testified to. But they tried to use restraint. And I will tell you this, what's happening now across the nation, police officers, be they black, white, or yellow, they're trying to go the extra step because of the George Floyd case. And the extra step many times would be required, and it should be followed. And they should hold themselves in check as to how they're doing something. That's critical. You need good policing. I've been watching the TV series. It was on years ago, and I never had a chance to see it. It's now on HBO, The Wire. They're trying to put drug dealers out of business, working some of the ghetto projects in Baltimore. And the cops get pretty rough with some of them. But when you see what some of the drug dealers and so forth are doing to the police and each other and innocent civilians, doesn't excuse it, but it gives you a perspective that many don't have. It is so easy to say, well, we need police officers to just do their job without hurting anyone. Yeah, that'd be nice. Please, can you just stop doing your drug business? Will you just please come on down? You don't want to go with this now? Would you come down at some point? So, yeah. Would that be protecting you if you have kids in that neighborhood or your family? All right, I'd promised this, so I need to get into this about COVID, some new confusion over COVID. First of all, there's a report that COVID-19 patients who have spent long periods on ventilators sometimes take days or even weeks to wake from medically induced comas. Neurologists are not sure why it's taken them so long. And then out of all the reports we had about nursing homes and the increase in deaths and so forth, I know we're quick to give those numbers. There's a facility, a care facility, I think, in Missouri right now where they're concerned about a large numbers. But when you closer look at some of them, the numbers might be totally wrong. They are now having to report. Rehab, nursing centers, that kind of facility, they are now having to report these numbers because of the COVID. They now have to go above and beyond. The CDC wants more details. Well, apparently in some cases the numbers are either improperly entered to the CDC or someone else mixes them up. For instance, there's a Southern Point Living Center in Colbert, Oklahoma, has 95 beds, and yet it's reported to have had 339 residents die of COVID-19. Spokesman for the center says, we haven't had anybody die of COVID-19. I don't know how they came up with that number. She said the CDC called and said, are these numbers right? They said, no, we only have 95 beds. How would we have had 335 or 39 die during that time? The number insanely wrong. So we got to watch for that. And we already discussed previously that sometimes cases were being classified as a COVID death when they didn't know. They were elderly. They had some other underlying health problem. They died. Blame it on COVID-19. The hospitals get an extra $3,000 if it's a COVID patient. And if they end up putting them on a ventilator, they get $39,000. I'm not saying they're purposely juggling the figures, but obviously some things are wrong, and we've been getting some false numbers. Now, I mentioned earlier, one blood type, according to some new studies, one blood type says that you might be less likely to get COVID-19. Your chances of testing positive for COVID-19 compared to other blood types would be 9 to 18% less likely if you have type O blood. Type O, the most common. It's what I have. One of my daughters has. I don't know about the other. I don't know about the grandchildren. But if you have type O, you're less likely to get COVID-19. We're going to spend more time on that tomorrow. I've got Dr. Rick Lehman lined up to go into that and some of the other issues. So I want you here for that tomorrow. Coming up, vandalism, good, bad, or indifferent. Please stand by.
Larry Connors USA.
There's a mural of George Floyd in Massachusetts on an interstate, Interstate 93 underpass in Woburn, just outside Boston. Now, that overpass and underpass have been spray-painted by graffiti for a long time, obviously defacing public property. Then somebody decide they're going to do a mural of George Floyd with the words, "Justice for Big Floyd." Police didn't take it down, didn't mess with it, but here comes someone else for whatever reason. May have been a white person, may have been a black person, may have been just someone looking to cause trouble, but what they did was they spray painted George Floyd's face, spray painting it white, defacing the mural. Some said it was a work of art. When it was put up there, it was still an act of graffiti. You cannot deny that. And then spray painting over it, that's another act of graffiti, vandalism, both of them. So you're going to accept one, excuse the other? While we're on Boston, by the way, the city's Christopher Columbus statue was beheaded overnight. The head cut off, lying next to the ground, next to the base of the Christopher Columbus Park statue. Now, in Richmond, Virginia, hours earlier, they pulled down a Columbus statue, and that city set it on fire, threw it in a lake. And they say that was carried out in a peaceful protest. It's not pretty peaceful when you start destroying monuments, statues. The Columbus, Boston statue had been vandalized previously. 5 years ago, someone spray-painted Black Lives Matter on its base. The Boston Parks Recreation Commission said at the time, "We encourage public discussion, but destroying property is not the way to go about it." That was also vandalism. But in the view of some, well, that's acceptable. It's acceptable to spray and create a mural on a public taxpayer-funded overpass of George Floyd. But it's wrong to then deface it. They are both acts of vandalism. We accept the fact. No, many folks won't. Do you know who Hattie Daniels is? Hattie Daniels was in a movie, and she goes down in history as the first black person to ever be nominated for an Oscar. The first to ever be nominated. And guess what? She won. She was the first black person ever to win an Oscar of any kind. The first black actor or actress to ever win an Oscar. The movie, 1940, she got Best Supporting Actress Oscar, 1940, Gone with the Wind. Her performance was outstanding. But now we got many coming forward and saying, get rid of Gone with the Wind. It's terrible, it's racist and everything else. HBO is insisting, we're going to go ahead and introduce it. We're still going to play it. And they say that it's going to be presented as originally created. That is a lie, because they're also going to be putting things in it to say, to correctly view, experience, and interpret. In other words, they're trying to make you understand what? We already understood what that time was. Otherwise, they want to be under pressure to just get rid of it, to blacklist it. But HBO says, no, we're going to go ahead and present it, but we'll put cautions and things of that nature. Corrections, politically correct. Ray Bradbury, who wrote Fahrenheit 451, stated there's more than one way to burn a book, and the world is full of people running around with lit matches. George Orwell, every record has been destroyed or falsified, every book rewritten, every picture has been repainted, every statue and street building has been renamed, every date has been altered, and the process is continuing day by day, minute by minute. History has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right. George Orwell, in his book, 1984. Only in this case, the party, the leftists, don't actually have to do it. They can let their underlings do it and they just kind of politely applaud, or they certainly don't condemn it. And in the process, they are, by making Gone with the Wind such a racist movie, and I'm not going to deny it was built on that and the whole story of slavery. That's the storyline. And more, of course. The movie was never meant to glorify slavery. It was telling a story, simply that. And it gave Hattie Daniel a chance to win a Best Supporting Actress Oscar. Well, after HBO Max says we're going to blacklist it as it exists now, we're going to put it up with all these warnings, you know what's happening? Amazon is reporting Gone with the Wind orders number one best-selling film right now on Amazon as of early this morning. Both DVDs and Blu-ray disc already sold out. Maybe there is some justice. Next hour, let's look at the photo op the Dems carried out the other day. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.